Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Ivan Handler, Chief Information Officer at the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Stu Avinsky. Ivan, given the breadth, size, and diversity of services and programs provided by your agency, would you tell us more about your IT strategy and how you manage your portfolio? What are you doing to modernize and standardize technology across the agency?
Part of this is, since a lot of things are going into APD and RFP mode, I'm going to be relatively quiet about. But let me talk at a high level. So first off, we have a legacy system that we have to keep operating day to day. And this legacy system needs to be adapted to new mandates. For example, the HIPAA 2 requirements for 5010 and ICD-10, we are, even though we are in a planning phase for our new MMIS, we're not going to be able to produce that in time to meet the mandates for HIPAA 2 and ICD-10. So we're going to implement that in our legacy system. And that's a decision that we've made consciously, knowing that, you know, it means we're going to, in some ways, do it twice, but it's better to do it twice than to, not get it done in time and have to face the consequences there, which are big consequences. So part of it is maintaining and adapting the legacy system. The other part is, and this is where I'm pushing a lot of people and vendors, is we need to start thinking in new ways. The state is in a budget crisis. The kind of money that was used to be available for these big systems isn't there. And I don't think it's going to appear again, at least for the next 3 to 5 years, if not much longer. So we need to have completely new strategies. I see the cloud environment, and by the cloud, I mean some very specific things besides software as a service, you know, scalability, you know, multi-tenancy, privacy and security, system level agreements, all these things needing to fit together very, very carefully, because if we do this stuff, we are reducing our investments, which is important, and we're increasing a lot, increasing the effectiveness of what's going on. I mean, the reason I have programmers is not because anything mandates me to have programmers. The reason we have technology at the state is not there's a mandate that we have technology. The reason is, up until now, the only way we could do the things that we had to do is we needed to have control, ownership and control over all this vast enterprise, and then to maintain it ourselves. But it's not our core business. With the advent of these cloud centers, with the newer types of technologies that have become available and are rapidly evolving, why should we be involved in that market? We should be involved in what I call configuration. What IT should be about is configuring the behavior of these systems, because, in fact, that is what we do. That's why we have programmers. That's why we've had hardware before, is to make sure the systems behaved in the way we wanted to. Well, if we get rid of the hardware and the software, that doesn't mean we get rid of our responsibility for maintaining the system. It just means it becomes a different kind of activity. But it's still inherently an IT activity. Why is that? Well, you still got to create a test bed, right? Somebody gives you some instructions, you think you got it right. Well, you don't want to go live until you know you got it right, right? I think most people who've been around IT know that. A lot of policy people still don't know that. So you need to have a way of doing this, but a way that's more aggressive, that's more efficient, and a lot more cost-effective, because the money's not there. And I think, frankly, I think this is a great time, because this is going to stimulate a totally different way of doing business. And I think it's good for everybody, not just the state, not for just our clients, but it's good for businesses, because there's going to be a huge number of services that we're all going a need. And if we structure things correctly, there's going to be not only tremendous benefits, but money for people to make who have got good services. And, you know, I think that's where I'm going. That's what I think is the critical, you know, way of looking at things right now.
Great. I wanted to touch on effective IT governance. And could you give me a sense of what you're doing in the area of IT governance?
I mean, I'm doing what we can. We, you know, part of IT governance means you need to have your hands over who's doing what, when, why. And we have completely manual systems, and we don't have the kind of visibility into what people are doing and why that would be nice. We have a lot of practices, so nobody starts anything, you know, ad hoc on their own. Though we have around 4,000 Microsoft Access databases that I'm looking to get rid of, that's very frustrating and no one knows what they do. Establishing a good governance process, and we've got the beginnings of it, but frankly, we need some technology, and I think that's probably true in a lot of states, that allow us to have dashboards to understand what people are doing, and when new things come up, that mandates come up, for us to go and go to the executive level and say, okay, here are the resources I have. If I do this, you know, to get this done, here's the implications. You know, what do you want? Or how do we structure that? Right now, the conversations I have to have around this with the stakeholders are, well, I'm hearing that we're going to, you know, here's the problem that we understand that we're going to have. And people have to trust me that the people I've been talking to, who've been talking to other people, have got a handle on it. Well, they have in many cases, but it's not a comfortable discussion. And it's not a discussion that gives people a lot of confidence because you can't see it. And, you know, I may be snookering someone, you know, so I got, you know, and it may be putting them in a difficult situation. So I think visibility into the operation is key for governance, because once you have that, you could have a governance process where everyone's confident that the information is going back and forth, makes sense, and is real. And until that happens, you've got these various understandable obstacles and credibility issues that are in your way. And they're not going to go away unless you figure out how to make things really transparent. And of course, it costs money to do that, and we're in the middle of a fairly heavy crisis. So, but I haven't given up hope. But I just think that's the that's the issue for governance in NHFS.
So governments are also taking green computing seriously, and both the private sector and state and local agencies are pursuing green solutions. Would you elaborate on your efforts to be a good environmental steward and move toward green computing?
Yeah, I want to move to green cloud centers. I mean, I don't want to make it just part of this issue. I don't think it's our core business to be doing that. I think obviously we want to, as we get desktop systems and others, we want them to be more energy efficient. You know, we want to think about a lot of the kinds of things in recycling, which we do. You know, we want to think about these things more, but I think a lot of the green initiatives are going to be in the data centers. And I think they should be outside. I don't think we should be owning them anymore. I mean, it's going to be, we're talking about a long transition. We're not going to just move to the cloud tomorrow. That would not work either. But I think that's what we want to do, and rely on vendors also.
You've mentioned a lot about the cloud. But technology has also enhanced the ability to share information. It has also made organizations more vulnerable to unlawful and destructive penetration. Would you elaborate on your efforts to improve IT security and foster a culture of accountability toward personally identifiable information?
Yeah, well, we do a lot. I mean, HIPAA is a kind of Health Information Portability and Accountability Act is the main legislation that controls, you know, privacy and security around health information. It's undergoing some changes, and we expect it to get more complex, as it should. So we have a lot of practices that make sure that we guarantee information is private and secure, that when we disclose information, even for researchers, we actually have from a guy from public health, Jifu Shen, who's a statistician, developed an algorithm so we can actually go after the information we want to release and verify that there's no way to deduce information about individuals from the statistics that we're producing. So we take it seriously. We still get problems. And this actually gets to me going again back to the cloud issue. The state doesn't have the money to pay top dollar for people who can run a data center, especially now we're down, we've lost staff, we're in a difficult situation. I see service level agreements and the cloud centers where they do pay top dollar, where they leverage, you know, economies of scale in their favor, is a place that we can have much better security. But I think the other thing about it is that we have a rather passive view about security right now, which is we've established our following boundaries so no one can penetrate, and otherwise we don't know what's going on. My view is we want a more active view with active audits, with pattern recognition, not audits. I want to know within 10 minutes that someone's penetrated the system, not within 10 months when all of a sudden it hits the newspapers and we're going sitting around going, well, gee, we didn't know that. And that's, again, where I think you get economies of scale. You can start, if you start standardizing these processes, you'll do better in these large centers where you have a large number of people who need these services rather than in a state-by-state area where every time you do something new like this, you got to find more resources to dedicate in that, more people who are willing to come out of the private sector, accept a lower salary, and move to someplace like Springfield in order to make this happen. It's not, this is a serious challenge.
So historically, though, particularly agencies rather that deal with health-related information have been reluctant to move information to the cloud or to external data centers or somehow out from under their own systems. Do you see that as a challenge now? Or?
I do think it's a challenge. So I think objectively, the people who feel like that, if we did any kind of serious security audit on what was going on, there would be an eye-opener. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer to my mind that this is what's got to happen. It's not simple, but there has been a lot of in the popular press and other things, there's been a lot of stirring up hysteria around, you know, privacy and security and Big Brother and stuff like that, which has been inappropriate, doesn't serve the public, and it's not based on, you know, the reality of what we can and should be doing. I think that if you really want to own your set of data and protect it, it's, you know, on your own individual way, you're going to spend a lot more money and going to be a lot more vulnerable than if you move into a much larger process that, you know, has been structured in a much more standardized and effective way, and you've got a security level agreement. In my data center, when something goes wrong, you know, I can scream and yell, but I have no way to make anyone accountable. Another data center, I do have ways to make people accountable in ways that are very strong. And that is another advantage that we have if we, you know, move some of these operations, you know, to the cloud centers. And I'm not talking about getting rid of labor, by the way, because that's the next thing people always worry about. We're going to be firing people. I don't think we have enough people. I think it's a question of redeploying people who understand state systems, who've got a lot of knowledge, and making them more effective. And actually, we still don't have enough people. I think we need to be hiring more people. So this is not a question of outsourcing with some kind of idea that we're going to reduce our labor force. The real issue is, how do we make everyone more effective, not how do we, you know, cut costs by just firing people, which is always, I think, always a short-term effort and never really pays off.
Ivan, I'd like to switch a little bit and understand how technology can enhance service delivery and improve client outcomes. And also, how can technology, and to what extent can technology help state and local agencies do better and weather the economic crisis we're experiencing now and possibly help them rethink the way they deliver services?
Well, that's a good question. I think, of course, the real issue for all these things is what are you measuring and how you measure it? Because technology can do a good job in measuring things that matter, for example, for quality purposes, quality outcomes, which is a big push right now in healthcare and human services, is to figure that out. So that, I think, is the key. It's not the technology per se. There's lots of different technologies, but let's formulate, what is it that matters? How do we measure it? How do we provide reports that are meaningful so that the people who are in control of the programs, the policy holders, when they see a measure that's not improving in the way they want, have some ability to then formulate something new that will be better and be more effective. It's the kind of classic feedback control mechanism, but this is not at the level of, you know, jet planes or FM radios. It's a level of policy and its interaction with, you know, the public and health programs to make it a minimum level. And I think that that's what we need to reformulate and think about that, because that's where we get real progress. Just getting fancier technology with newer bells and whistles, if you don't have some context like this to put it in, you're not going to get, well, you'll maybe get some bragging rights for some people who don't understand much about this, but you're not going to have the kind of impact you want to have on the business level. And the business level is really where we want to have an impact.
You've mentioned transparency, accountability. What are you doing to drive results, outcomes, transparency, and accountability in your agency?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of initiatives at the state level, so, and we're doing our best to accommodate them. Again, a lot of this, to my mind, means we need more visibility into our systems, and we've got old COBOL IMS systems. I mean, I hadn't seen IMS since 1978, and I come to this state, and I still see it's there, and I was going, my God, you know, so, you know, what happened? In order for, I mean, you need, this is where actually replacing technology or upgrading technology or getting more technology in makes a big difference, because if everyone is manually having to report everything, you know, I mean, the labor involved in trying to even consolidate the reports, the money goes through the roof, you're wasting an enormous amount of time. Using effective technology to do that so that people in their normal day-to-day work are also reporting on what they're doing, that we're keeping track of their time, and the state as a whole has been moving in this direction. You know, now all of a sudden we have some ways of making things much more transparent, or at least transparent at the right level. I don't think everyone needs to know what my staff is doing day to day, moment to moment, but, you know, maybe some aggregate reporting would be good. I think, you know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but it is important for the leadership, you know, of my agency and of the state to be able to understand what's happening and how these things are transpiring. That kind of level is very important. And then, of course, there are, I mean, with Medicaid, of course, there's a whole lot of information that needs to be out in the public all the time. And we have a medical data warehouse, and we're pretty good at producing that information. But, you know, I think all that can also be improved. I don't think anything can't be. But, you know, those are all fairly critical things. So my, you know, obviously my little world is what is happening on the IT side and what do I need to do, you know, to make that more efficient.
If I may ask, are there specific state mandates that are requiring your IT organization to be more transparent and accountable?
Not my IT organization per se, but the agencies for sure. I mean, a lot of that comes from, you know, what came up down in the feds. You know, there's a lot of transparency requirements that come through as part of our, and that's also managed to find its way down to the state either as a direct mandate or we've passed legislation that, you know, is complementary. So, and there's a lot of transparency working at the state. We have a lot of websites out there, you know, across agencies. It's not really an HFS thing. It's pretty much at the level of our state CIO, Greg Wass, you know, that these things are happening. And we certainly are participating in that and, you know, take it very seriously. But the things I'm talking about is there are reasons why transparency in particular will benefit the operations of my program and of my agency. I think that you know, this benefits, aside from mandates, there are obvious benefits and there's obvious reasons to go for it.
How is the state of Illinois leveraging health information technology? We will ask Ivan Handler, its CIO, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.